Newsroom, Kenny here.
Hey, Kenny Duckswiper here.
All right, there he is. What is the good word, Minister?
Life's good. Baseball season's wrapping up. Almost time for playoffs.
I know, eh? You know what? Holy wow, does the Jays kind of collapse though in the last little bit.
A little bit of pressure, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Although, you know where I actually legitimately feel bad for? Ken Giles was supposed to be a free agent this offseason. He needs Tommy John. I guess when they traded Osuna, I was kind of like, well, I guess given what had happened with that whole thing, you kind of had no choice but to move on from the franchise. You had no choice but to move him from the franchise after he was caught up in that. But and Giles looked good. I liked his stuff. Like, his fastball definitely had oomph to it. But I think he made a mistake by trying to come back, and he realized he was a free agent, tested fate, and fate won. Yeah, but I can appreciate where he's coming from, especially when you're in that situation there. But even aside from that, you sure had a busy week, eh?
Well, you know what? There's a few things on the go these days. A few things on the go.
Keeping it busy like you always do. Let me just make sure my thing is working here. Okay, just to let you know, Minister Tape is rolling. So for a level check and for the record, you know the drill, your name and title, please.
Doug Schweitzer, Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. As he always does, every week, the Trending 55 Hot Seat, we are speaking with the Minister of the Economy, Jobs, and Innovation, Mr. Doug Schweitzer. And Minister, as always, great to have you on. Thank you for taking the time.
As always, thanks for having me.
All right, so I guess the first big thing is that normally we talk right off with baseball, but you know what? In terms of your ministry, it was such a busy, busy week for the Ministry of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation that let's get right into the big announcements. I mean, right off the bat, you had an announcement of $9 million towards the University of Alberta for their artificial intelligence program. And you know what? When we sit back and we think of Alberta, I know we talked about this, that we think about oil and gas, but artificial intelligence, explain a little more exactly what that is to people who don't understand and the good learning opportunities this is going to create.
Well, you know what? Artificial intelligence and machine learning, whenever you think about Alberta, you don't necessarily think about the fact that we're at the forefront of one of the most emerging technologies that are out there. Like, this is the type of technology that is going to save thousands of lives in healthcare, and it already is being applied that way in this COVID pandemic. On top of that, machine learning, the ability for machines to learn and adapt and grow, like, they're actually estimating that this could be a new space of the market worth trillions of dollars. Like, not billions, but trillions of dollars of value.
Wow.
And Alberta is one of the top-ranked places in the world to come and learn about it. So a big piece of what we did, and this is AIMEE is what it's called, is the program, dealing with artificial intelligence and machine learning, but they're helping us commercialize and turn that idea and concepts that we're at the forefront on into companies and jobs. So that is a big part of our strategy right now, is making sure Albertans know that technology and technology-driven companies are here in the province. And don't just think of this as some new tech app that's out there. This is how we order. Like, I ordered my coffee this morning on my phone. You know, people are getting Amazon delivery. You know, they're getting more and more of our lives are integrated with technology, and the business community is seeing that. So making sure we can commercialize it, turn it into jobs, is a big part of our future. And it just doesn't mean that we're taking our eye off the ball of the traditional economy, but these technologies are disrupting grocery stores, are disrupting the financial institution, banks. So if we're not at the forefront of the technology, it disrupts our traditional economy, which we've relied on and grown with for so long. So we have to build up our traditional economy, like ag and forestry and the energy sector, while at the same time being at the forefront of these emerging trends and emerging opportunities.
Now, talking about this one, this is for the University of Alberta, and obviously in the Edmonton area, and saying that too, is there an opportunity, I guess, with, and I guess it would be more up to the universities themselves, but with online learning expanding as much as it has, mainly a lot thanks to the pandemic, but it's been going that way, do you see a good opportunity for people in the northwestern part of Alberta to participate in this and get and take part in this education?
Well, I think it's a huge opportunity. I mean, we're seeing more and more now the ability for people to live in the community they want to live in and do the job that they want to do. So this also comes down to connectivity and broadband. So we're actually talking to the Minister of Service Alberta about, you know, how do we make sure these opportunities are there for everyone in every corner of the province. So that's a huge priority for us, to make sure these opportunities are there for all Albertans. Now, that's a real way to level the playing field. But, you know, if I live in the Peace Country and do a job that's in downtown New York and has that same downtown New York value, wouldn't I want to do that? I think that's a pretty good value proposition.
How do you say no to that? Absolutely. And also, again, you continued with the momentum, and you made some announcements for state and read your college and Olds College as well. But I guess some people in the Peace region may be wondering why talk about that. But as we said, education is becoming more accessible today, isn't it? So for those investments, what kind of education and technologies are those going to cover?
Well, this is really, really cool stuff. It's actually like 3D printing. I didn't really appreciate the level of detail that you can get into with 3D printing. They're literally printing with metal. They're creating these parts that are going into the oil sands to clean up the oil sands and create, you know, cleaner water. Like, and they're creating valves, and they're designing engines with 3D printing that are more efficient than anything that they could have dreamt of 15 years ago or 10 years ago. And again, this is just another opportunity to make sure they're at the forefront of modern manufacturing, modern jobs that go into this. So it's really just fascinating to see how far this technology has come. So it's making sure, you know, State and Regent College and Old College have those advanced tools to train the next generation of workers.
Yeah, and also, I guess, one of the things I want to talk about, and this is actually a question, interesting, and I think this might be more of an educational question, but you know what, it is definitely at least towards jobs and the economic type of education, and it says, hey, Minister, so in Ontario, the Ford government introduced a financial literacy class for K-12 students. How about something like that for the province of Alberta, or something like entrepreneurship education in our high schools? Interesting.
You know, I love that idea. I think it makes it's good common sense. We're working closely right now with the Minister of Advanced Education as well as the Minister of Education on a few different tools to make sure that the science, you know, the STEM stuff is taught in our schools as well. It's a big push. Like, that's the future. Your kids need to understand how to use modern technology so that they have the skill set to build on our traditional economy that we have. So, again, I think it's smart. And one of the things that we're looking at, too, is with apprenticeships. A lot of this stuff doesn't necessarily need to be a big four-year university degree. Some of it's, you know, 6 months of practical training and then making sure that they have a, you know, an on-the-job internship where they can develop their skills further. So how do we come up with practical ways of getting people the skill set they need for these modern jobs?
All right, and I guess also as well, I guess something else that we'd happen, we've seen those investments in colleges, and I'm sure, as you know, up here we have Grand Prairie Regional College, is a big center of education in the Northwest, and also Northern Lakes College, arguably the College of the Peace up here. Are those like two institutions at some point that the government could see themselves, maybe, or your ministry, I should say, working with maybe down the road?
Oh, like every corner, yeah. We're continuing to make sure we find those opportunities, and this just happened to be the announcement of the week here. We're going to be making lots more announcements in the weeks and months to come on different opportunities, different areas, you know, labor and talent training. There's lots of things in the hopper that are coming.
All right, awesome. And I also, I guess, one of the things that I wanted to focus on, at least in last week's announcement about artificial intelligence, and this is something that we talked about, especially from an environmental point, is that the fact of how to reduce emissions and that kind of technology as well. So I see also as well through these announcements that there's some environmental initiatives in here as well.
Well, this is the other part, too. We have to tell our story. Like, environment and clean, like, that is Alberta. I mean, we do develop our resources, but we do it responsibly. And we have to do a better job going out and showing the world what we are and what we do. And this is a big part of it as well. We're at the forefront of technological innovation. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We shouldn't hide it. That should be like on the tip of everybody's tongue, that Alberta is sophisticated, that we are technologically driven. And those opportunities are here. And I think that in talking to a lot of young Albertans, they want to know that they have a future in this province. Many of them are, you know, there's a high unemployment rate for young Albertans. They need to know that they have confidence that there's going to be jobs and opportunities for them going forward. And this is a big part of that, making sure that they know that there's those opportunities to train and the opportunities to have, you know, the best training possible so they have the skill set to compete in the very competitive global market.
Okay, and I guess and in terms of that, your friends on the official opposition didn't take any time sending out an statement, and this is the NDP official opposition critic for advanced education, David Egan. It said, this is not new money. This grant is less than 1% of the cuts already made. So I haven't seen any announcements before. This is new money, isn't it?
New money. It's one of those things that I think the NDP have a bit of a fictional accounting system where they think that when you're spending new money, that was money that they spent. So I don't quite know how they do math over there, but this is new money buying new machinery. So I don't know. These machines didn't exist before, so I don't know how they were purchased before, but they're new.
All right, so I'm guessing they didn't just invent and create themselves, is what you're saying.
No, but you know what the NDP are good at? Their jobs program was literally hiring people to come and put light bulbs into your house. So we're not going to take too many notes from them on a jobs program and a training program when they think it's a really good idea to hire someone to literally come into your home to switch out your light bulb. They thought that was a good idea. So we'll take a pass on taking ideas from the NDP.
The only reason I would call that a good idea is because I'm about 5'3", and sometimes I need somebody who's got at least 6'3" to be able to screw in the light bulbs I can't reach. So that's my
kind of... Get a chair, buddy. Come on.
Here's the thing. Like, so, and this gives you an idea how short I am. I did stand on a chair, and I still had a reaching issue. So I guess maybe I'll need another chair and a step ladder, but then we may start getting into some occupational health and safety issues. So I do have to do this one, and I have to ask you this because, as you know, what started today at the Supreme Court of Canada, and you were heavily involved in building this case in the Justice Ministry. The carbon tax battle starts today with already some arguments underway. Is a little part of you, I guess, because of your former ministry, are you still sometimes, you know, getting on your phone, checking out, and seeing what's going on there?
Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure the Supreme Court's going to reserve judgment, so I'm just kind of curious to see what questions they ask and to see who's asking what, and that might give you a sense as to the direction that the court may end up going. But you know what? I'm just proud of the team as to how far that they have gone. Many people didn't give us a chance, and we ended up winning resoundingly here in the province of Alberta. Now, here's another example. The NDP thought that was a waste of time, and the Court of Appeal of Alberta overwhelmingly said that the carbon tax is unconstitutional. Now it's a foundational case going to the Supreme Court. So we're doing everything we can to fight for the development of our resources here in the province of Alberta, and I'm just proud of our team to get this far.
Yeah, definitely, and it's 2 days of arguments from what we're hearing. And speaking of getting to the finish line, you know, we're almost there in the NLB season, Minister, and also as our baseball analyst, we kind of saw the Jays after last week, and I remember at one point we were talking about the Yankees imploding, looked like it was all disaster. Now Judge is back, I'm not sure about Stanton, and the Jays now really have kind of sputtered, and it's setting up an interesting playoff. Do you think the Yankees are once again a powerhouse?
My Yankees-Dodgers prediction still stands. It's still there. I still think the Dodgers is a team to beat, though. I mean, they're just – Mookie Betts was an amazing addition. I still think the Dodgers are a team to beat. The one thing I was really sad this week is the fact that Justin Verlander needs Tommy John.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's got a good run in his career. Hopefully he can come back from that healthy. But the other thing that's exciting, too, is the San Diego Padres making the playoffs.
Aren't they fun?
That's a young, exciting team. And Manny Machado's playing into form again, so watch out.
It kind of gives you an idea, just to give you an idea, and I want to give our audience an idea of how young the Padres are. Manny Machado, think about this, Minister. He's a veteran on that team, and he's only 27 or 28.
Oh, yeah. That is a young team, like Tatis. And all. They're exciting to watch, and they also added a couple arms, so they got a good pitching staff. You got to watch out for the Padres.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I guess in terms of the Jays, almost sounds like they'll get in because of the format. But this is a very, I guess, inconsistent young team. But that's not typical, or that's very typical, I should say, of a team that's, you know, young and going through growing pains, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? We got to call Vladdy out again. He's dropped it in the last in a while. We got to call Vladdy out again to get him hitting. Vladdy needs to go on a streak if they're going to make a real run.
You know what, though, with Bo Bichette coming back, and the last time, I do have to say this, Minister, the last time he called Vladdy out, he went on an 11-game hitting streak, cranked a few home runs, so I think he hears you. I think he tunes in. I think he tunes in.
Right from the Peace Country. He's hearing us.
Exactly. He's definitely hearing us up here. And I guess the last question I want to, because I know you're a bit of a football fan, too. I was watching this thing, and it was a very sad statistic that they announced on Monday Night Football at the halftime show. 7 torn ACLs just this week alone. Have you ever heard or seen anything like that in any weekend of sports?
I mean, like Saquon Barkley, like the number of ACL injuries is crazy. But
Bosa too?
The one thing that I thought was really nuts is you got Cam Newton there in New England, who was passed over by like almost everybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
You have like third-string quarterbacks getting better deals than him, and now he's showing the world that he's still one of the best quarterbacks around. So I'm just cheering for Cam Newton this whole season.
Yeah, no, fair enough, fair enough. And I remember at one point you thought that maybe the Niners would come back, but that's one of the teams over the seven torn ACLs. Two of them were suffered by that Niners team, including Nick Bosa. How does a team respond like that after you lose? You're a pass-rushing team, and you just lost your number one pass rusher. This could be a problem.
That's a real problem for the 49ers, and he is so good, but you normally don't see that kind of an injury for a lineman either, so that's just, it's just hard.
No doubt about it. Minister, we always thank you for your time. We'll keep on the announcements, and next week we'll probably be talking playoffs.
Sounds good.
Awesome. This is Minister Doug Schweitzer of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, and this is another episode of the Trending 55 Hot Seat.